From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Here's something I think every entrepreneur would agree with.
I don't want to be AT&T still selling landline services in a world where wireless is coming. In today's world, I don't want to be selling cable television knowing that OTT and Netflix and YouTube and Roku and Amazon are coming.
And now everyone all at once. Yeah, totally. We don't want that either. This is Andy, by the way.
My name is Andy Monfried. I'm the CEO and founder of Lotame.
But okay, Andy, it's one thing to say you don't want to be selling cable TV knowing that Netflix and YouTube are coming. Nobody will disagree with the ethos of that statement. It's quite another thing to actually be on the losing side of that change, to actually be the cable TV and react fast enough to save yourself. Business history is littered with companies that didn't react. Blockbuster is, of course, your classic example. It saw Netflix coming and it didn't act fast enough, and now it's basically dead. I'm sure there are a lot of very smart people that worked at Blockbuster, and I'm sure they saw change coming, but they ran up against a reality. It's hard to make a change until you feel the pain. And by the time you feel the pain, it's probably too late. Which is why when Andy saw change coming in his business, he didn't wait until the pain. He was in the advertising business, and when he heard from customers about a major change coming in his industry, it led him to shut down a part of his business that was making $30 million. And there was no pain yet. I need to stress that. Nothing was shrinking. Nobody else was panicking. His investors were not worried. Nothing was happening except that Andy saw change in his industry, and he acted in a way that, frankly, many other business leaders say they would, but don't.
I was well enough ahead of the curve that when I did it, people thought I was nuts. And so much so that the most painful part of the experience, not only communicating, but having to let go half of my company on a instinctual bet, and I called what I did instinctual bet because I really had no evidence to back up what I was saying other than the fact that I was sitting in front of customers hearing directly from them.
How does someone do that? How does an entrepreneur have that courage of conviction? And what the hell happens if you do take your company through a major change like that based on an instinctual bet? I don't want to give it all away, but I'll say this. Lotame is doing great, better than ever, and it's definitely not the same company that Andy started with. Today on Problem Solvers, what happens when you really, truly act on change? Right after the break. FedEx delivers millions of packages around the world. But for FedEx, it's not just about packages or pallets. It's about what those deliveries mean for people. Whether it's rekindling a long-lost connection between old friends, a new business opportunity, or providing much-needed hope after a natural disaster in the form of relief supplies, FedEx delivers more than just packages. FedEx delivers possibilities. Find out more at fedex.com/possibilities. And now, our second sponsor.
Incredible starts when you have an expert who knows your business. It starts with TriNet, human resources that tailor a strategy for success for small and medium-sized businesses. So no matter what industry you're in, you can grow with confidence. See how TriNet's industry-focused HR can give you more at TriNet.com. Incredible starts here. TriNet.
All right, we're back. So first, to understand the big changes Andy made at Lotame, let's talk about what Lotame originally was. And it all starts with where Andy was working.
I started at a company called Advertising.com 21 years ago in 1997. Basically opened up the New York office for the company, and it was an ad network. It was an ad network that basically bought inventory or space from publishers and resold it to advertisers.
And okay, the digital advertising industry is a confusing one, and I promise you that you don't really need to understand it in order to follow this episode, but if you can follow the basics, it will give you a better understanding of what Andy was building and the opportunities he'd come to see. So let me just have him explain the basics of advertising.com a little more. Instead of the publisher of a website selling ad space directly to a brand, they'd sell it to advertising.com. So advertising.com would buy this space, like, say, a banner ad, just to be really simplistic about it, and then they'd go and sell that space to the brand whose ad would ultimately appear in that space. And this could be good business.
We bought it on an impression basis. So we'd buy it on CPM, which is cost per thousand, and we would sell it to advertisers on performance. Nobody was doing that. So basically buying from what publishers wanted, which was space and eyeballs on a CPM basis, and turning around and selling it to advertisers on cost per sale, or cost, what's called cost per acquisition. So selling on performance.
Eventually, Andy leaves advertising.com, but he has this great insight into the ad business now. He sees that he can buy inventory in one way and sell it in another. And if he can add more value to the inventory he's selling, he can bring in more money. So he creates Lotame as a new way to do that. Instead of selling on cost per acquisition, as he did at advertising.com, he's going to start selling by targeting ads to specific demographics. Today, we think of that as commonplace. Ads are targeted to us because we're of a certain age or interest group or whatever. But we're talking about 2009, 2010 here. It was still fairly new, and Lotame had built a way to gather data of users across the internet and then target ads specifically to those users based on that data.
We'd sit in front of brand marketers, and no one had done this before. We were first to market this particular thing, which was showing them their audience. We would say to them, you want to reach 35 to 45-year-old males who make over $100,000 and love baseball. And we would literally build the audience in front of them and show them those people and show them those targetable cookies and device IDs.
This was powerful. Everyone wanted in. In 24 months, Lotame went from $0 to $30 million in revenue. Then Andy goes out to Silicon Valley and raises like $30 million because investors are super pumped to see all this growth and profit. And Andy thinks, fantastic, I've built something strong and lasting here. And then he hears something alarming.
We sat in front of those media planners who had been giving me hundreds of thousands of dollars a month on campaigns. And then over a period of about 90 days, here's what I heard. I can't give you any more money. We're building what you're doing at our agency.
Advertising agencies, the ones that used to be paying for Andy's data targeting service, were starting to build their own versions of it. That means they didn't need him anymore. Now, not everyone was doing this. It wasn't like the rug was being pulled out from under him all at once. But when you hear that once, you pretty much know you're going to hear it again.
How many times did you have to hear that before you were like, oh, no?
Three times. It was about 2 to 3 times, I would say. The first time I was like, well, one agency is going to do it. And then I heard from another holding company that they were building it. It was WPP, actually, who was giving us a lot of money. And they were in the process of building their own what's called ATD, Agency Trading Desk. It's another word for ad network.
Ad network, like what Lotame was. Now, here's the moment. Andy looks at his business, and although it's a business that buys and sells advertising, it's actually two separate things. It's the advertising side, and then it's the data side. There's this whole thing that they built where they process and understand data. That's what fueled the other part of the business. They're able to target users because of that data. And Andy thinks, well, that's the future. We can do so many different things with that capability. The advertising was really just one expression of it. And if the agencies that used to pay us money are now going to be copying this functionality, well, then the bottom is going to eventually fall out there. But data? Understanding and making use of data? That's the future. If he wanted to anticipate change, to not be Blockbuster watching Netflix approach, now was the time. Now, before the pain starts, before anyone even sees the oncoming wave, now. So, okay, folks, this is the moment. This is what it sounds like to make that decision.
It's an emotional experience, and I had doubts all the way through. I mean, I'd be lying to you if I told you that I knew I was betting my future. I knew I was betting my future on something that I could never explain or I couldn't articulate well to anybody, but I knew that the world was going to change forever. And it was very difficult. Investors, employees, family, customers, across the board, it was a very painful experience. And the thing that got me through it was having really, really good investors who, when I sat with them over a dinner and did this on the back of a napkin and amassed about 16 napkins in front of me to show them the evolution of what was coming, they got it. Had I done that in a financial exercise and said, here is where I think things are going to go financially, they would have said, no, keep it open. In fact, one of my investors proposed the idea of keeping it open, letting it die a slow death while you build this other thing. Use it as a cash cow. And my point was, you can never use it as a cash cow because your focus will always gravitate toward where your revenue is coming from. I don't care what anyone says. Using cash cows is the death of a business. Because you can never starve a cash cow. Because needs and resources will always gravitate toward that. So it is better off to amputate and cauterize and sanitize than it is to try to starve something that you know is going to die anyway, because it takes away your team's focus, your team's resources, and ultimately your team's success. And then when I heard that, I knew I couldn't do it, and I didn't want to do it. So rather than wait 6 months and rather than wait 3 months, it was about a 10-day period from that last meeting until the time that I ultimately closed it and laid off half the company. And in those 10 days, I probably slept 10 hours. And in those 10 days, I probably lost 20 pounds. But it was the best decision looking back in my career, the most painful at the time, but actually the best. And it made me grow as a leader, made me grow as a manager, and it certainly made me grow when it came to my instinct and following my own voice, my own where I think the industry's going.
So here's what he did. First, he thought about how to communicate this change. There were three constituencies as he saw it: his employees, his customers, his investors. He wrote separate personal emails for each audience explaining the strategy and how he was going to execute it. Then he had individual meetings with every employee that was losing their job because of this change. And Andy wants to stress these were good and talented people. They were losing their jobs because of no fault of their own. It's just that they were working for a company that Andy knew would one day go out of business, so he was putting it out of business himself now. He told every employee face-to-face that he would help them find jobs, be it with reference calls or helping them with interviews or whatever, and he did. Within 45 days of the announcement, he says, every employee found a new job. So now Lotame is a new thing. And what is that thing? It's a data company. It's a company that helps its clients manage all of their customer and consumer data. So, you know, anywhere that a company generates a sale or interacts with a customer, whether online or in a store or whatever, some data is generated. And Lotame gathers that data, brings it all together under one profile, and enables its clients to use that data and that platform to manage their customer base. And with that, Andy starts to rebuild his business. And what he does actually sounds like a magic trick, which is that he takes the companies that he used to pay money to, and he gets those companies to pay him money instead. So, okay, consider how this works. In the advertising business, Andy was working with a lot of publishers, which is to say that he would go to the publisher and he would give them money for their inventory. He'd be buying their ad inventory, and then he would turn around and sell that ad inventory himself at a profit.
They were getting a check from me, $10,000 to $50,000 a month. I turned around and turned them into my newest customers. And rather than pay them every month for their audience data to be able to repackage and sell through the platform, I gave them a free DMP for 6 months and helped them build audiences so they could sell them. And they all turned into my first customers.
How about that, right? Now that he's a data company, he's in the business of helping his clients understand their own users. Instead of selling ad inventory to the old Lotame, these publishers could now use the new Lotame to better target their own ads and therefore make more money off of that same ad space. And because they were making more money, they were happy to pay Lotame. And this, Andy discovered, was actually a far better business to be in anyway. The advertising business has lots of ups and downs. It depends on how much variability various clients are spending that quarter or what new campaigns they have running or whatever. Blech. But now Lotame had predictable income flow. They sign up a customer, they know what money's coming in. Great. In looking back on this, I ask Andy what the change taught him as a leader. Like, how did it test him? What kind of leader did it shape him into being? And here's what he said.
I guess there's two or three kinds of leaders. I'll tell you the kind of leader I am. Some in a very quick way of explaining it. Ready, fire, aim. We don't have time. Technology is moving quickly. Talented employees in this environment have a ton of choices of where to be, where to work. Engineers, product people in this industry, great salespeople. They don't want a leader that's going to vacillate or take time to make decisions. When you have an important decision to make, you take, in the shortest amount of time, the information you have, and you ready, fire, aim. And you're not going to win every one of those. But you're going to win, if you're a good leader, 7 out of 10 times. And if you bat 700, someone told me this, and it stuck with me. A guy named Scott Ferber told me this. He said, you have 10 decisions when you own a company for more than 10 years. Only 10. Everything else is minors. Everything else is minor league stuff. You have 10 major decisions over 10 years. It could be prioritization. It could be a big hire. It could be a strategic reboot. You only get 10, and you got about 700. Now, I don't know if I'm batting 700 because the verdict isn't in yet. But I do know that we've built a profitable business that grows over 30% a year, 38% a year, average growth over the past 3 years, in an environment where I'm up against some of the biggest companies like Adobe, Salesforce, Oracle. I'm up against the big boys, and I'm this little independent company that continues to grow and win for the simple reason of ready, fire, aim.
Today, Andy has 450-plus clients, including huge names like Hearst, WebMD, IBM, and Bloomberg. And the secret to attracting them? It's right there in those words, I think. Ready, fire, aim. Or at least if you're a leader like Andy, it's the secret that worked for him. So how do you make a change this big? How do you see something on the horizon, know that acting upon it will confuse people, will upset people, will cause people to lose their jobs, but that it's the right thing to do for the long-term health of your company? Here's how. You just do it. You don't question yourself and over-question it and sit on the bench until, wouldn't you know it, you've wasted time and it's too late. You make sure it's right, you get your stakeholders on board, and then you just do it. And then you deal with what comes next, knowing that you've at least made the change, set the thing in motion, and now it's just about managing what comes. That's what Blockbuster never did. They never just said, let's do it. But Andy did. And that's our episode. But wait, before you go, please hear me out on a few ways you can stay in touch with the show and contact me directly. First of all, if you like the show, it would be amazing if you subscribe to it on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Problem Solvers. That way, you'll never miss an episode. We come out every Monday morning. Also, I love hearing from listeners. You can go to jasonpfeiffer.com. That's J-A-S-O-N, F as in Frank, E-I, F as in Frank, E-R.com, where you'll find my email address, social media handles, and also you can sign up for my monthly newsletter, The Pfeiffer 5, which is 5 monthly insights and bursts of inspiration for entrepreneurs. It's basically a collection of the ideas that excited me the most that month. So please go check it out. And that's again, jasonpfeiffer.com. And if you want to drop me a line directly, please let me know about the problems you've solved, and I might have you read the letter in a future episode of the show. We can all learn from each other, and that also means you. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media, and this episode was edited by Conrad Martin. We are also online at entrepreneur.com. Again, I'm Jason Pfeiffer. Thanks for listening, and now go solve some problems.